today on Living on Every Word.
His promises in His Word are true. And whatever God has to say to you and to me, and every promise that He has for you and me, you can bank on it and believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And there are promises, and there are principles, and there are things to truly live by.
What could be more reliable than a promise made by Almighty God? Well, today, Pastor Mike Fritcher discusses some key promises from God's Word that we can count on in this sermon called His Precious and Magnificent Promises.
Living on Every Word.
You have your Bibles. I'd like for you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want to just talk to you for a minute. I want to just be honest with you. I was laying down in the front bedroom of our house, and I was beginning to pray. And, you know, I was reminded of something that I kind of want to share with you. This is just kind of on my heart. That His promises in His Word are true. That Word is true. And whatever God has to say to you and to me, and every promise that He has for you and me, you can bank on it. I mean, you can bank on it and believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do. And there are promises, and there are principles, and there are things to truly live by. When Peter says in chapter 1 of verse 2 that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence, and for by these, His own glory and excellence, by these, He's granted to us His precious, magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. When I look at this passage, I see a couple of things. I see, number one, that He wants to deliver you from the corruption that's in the world. I mean, He is giving you promises, and He's giving you His excellencies, and He's giving you everything pertaining to life and godliness so that you can escape the corruption that's in the world. That He's given you divine promises in this Word so that you no longer walk in corruption, but you're partaking of His divine nature in a very practical way. And I was reminded as I was beginning that prayer time, just of all the promises that I've been reading through New Testament and reading through Psalms and now going through Old Testament, that some things that have just come to life to me that I want to share with you. And the first one, and there's just some truths. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. In Psalm chapter 37, please turn there, is this promise. But I want you to notice the context of it and what He says. Verse 1, don't fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. They will wither quickly like the grass, and they'll fade like the green herb. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Let me ask you, what are you delighting in today? You know, the word delight is interesting. It means to be happy, to take exquisite delight in, to make yourself merry, to make yourself happy. And He says, delight yourself, make yourself happy in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And the question that I ask myself often is, what is it that makes you the most happy? What is the thing that you really are delighting in, Mike Fritcher? Because there's a lot of things to delight in this world. I mean, God says He's given us great gifts, and those gifts are given so that we might enjoy them. Is that right? I mean, the things that you have in your life, the possessions that you have, the things that God has given, because I want to tell you, unless it's God, you don't get anything. And He blesses and gives and creates all these things for us to enjoy, but not to enjoy above Him. And I often find myself delighting in things that I don't need to be delighting in first. I need to be thankful about the things God's given me. I need to be grateful for them. I need to be good stewards of those things. And I need to understand that God wants to bring me joy in my marriage, which is a gift. Joy in my children. Joy in the work of God in our midst. But I'm never to delight in them above God. And you know what I found is over the last couple of months of just reading through Scripture is that I'm finding this place where I'm delighting in Him above everything else. And I'm finding the desires and the requests and the things that I'm asking of God, I'm seeing them fulfilled before my eyes. And I'm so grateful. It's a principle that every one of us needs to live by. You've often heard me say, God, satisfy us with Your presence. You've heard me say that. Well, that's what this means. It means to delight myself in the Lord. Come to this place where I'm finding my happiness and my joy in God above all things in my life. Not the success of a church. Not success in career. Not your health or your wealth. But you delight yourself in the Lord first, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And you know what else I found? I found that when I'm delighting in my God and seeking to find that place that I'm happy in Christ above all else, that my desires change as well. It's almost as if God takes the desires of my heart and begins to tweak them and take that stuff out that's kind of rubbish and brings my desires in line with what He wants. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. What am I saying? Church, let's delight ourselves in the Lord above all. Let's delight in Him above all else. Let's find that place of joy in Christ first above all. And sometimes it means for me getting up in the morning and saying, I'm not going to do another thing till I'm happy in Jesus. And sometimes I got to sit there and be still, which is very hard for me, to be still and know that He's my God. It's hard to sit there and to move into this place of just stillness before God to say, I'm going to transform my mind today and I'm going to find my happiness in You and my desire in You. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. And what I want to do this moment is to ask the question, what are the things I've been delighting in above all else that has distracted me from the things of God, the things of the kingdom, my purpose that God has for us individually, corporately as the body of Christ? What are the things that are distracting my heart from the main thing of having my relationship with God? Name them right now. Name them in your heart and confess them before God. Listen, good things can become idols. Gifts of God can become idols in your life. They do all the time. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Second thought, as I was reading through the New Testament, I was again struck with John chapter 8. Here's the promise. Abide in God's Word. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Abide in God's Word. I find that it's the key to my happiness and my joy. It's those principles that lead me to the presence of God, that teach me about who God is, where faith is embraced by the Spirit of God. And as I'm reading that Scripture, and I'm reading that Word, and I'm abiding in it, that God is speaking to me and showing me of His nature and showing me of the things of God. And as I apply those things to my life through obedience, I find this principle to be ever true, that the truth is God's Word, and the truth is the Lord Jesus Christ, and the truth will indeed set you free. Verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in My Word, then you're truly disciples of Mine. The word is abide. It means to remain. It means to live in. If you live in My Word, if you continue in My Word, if you abide in My Word, then you are truly, that means you're definitely disciples of Mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him and they said, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? And Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who is committing sin is the slave of sin. And the slave doesn't remain in the house forever and the son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. You are truly free. It means definite. The truth will set you free. And you know what? The truth has got to be based on God's Word and nothing else. Because if it's not based on God's Word and that's not the final authority, you'll find an emotion that'll say, that's my authority. You ever been there before? It just feels good. And that's not truth. That could be a result of truth, but it also could be a result of the enemy's lie. Who wants to deceive. And so I want to walk in God's Word. I want to study God's Word. I want to read God's Word. I want to learn God's Word. Because the Bible says if you'll abide in the Word, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. I made this comment earlier and we were talking about how experience is really not your final authority. Because you can have an experience that's wrong. It's not of God. And that our final authority is always God's Word. But you know, one of the greatest experiences that I had is a sophomore in high school sitting at my kitchen table where I fell in love with the Word of God. Where I knew it was life. When I came to understand that when Jesus said, you shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, I suddenly realized that this Word was life to munch on and to live on and to find life in. And that I'd be a fool to walk away from that. Because you can walk away from God's Word and find another truth that'll get you feeling good for a season, but you'll wake up one day and you'll realize you've been in nothing but darkness and heartache, and you've been in a place that you know you don't need to be. The Word of God will set you free. Free from what? Well, free from the power of sin. He says everyone who is committing sin, everyone who is practicing sin, it's almost like he's saying, listen, if you're continuing in your sin and this thing keeps coming up in your life and you're just bound to it, you're a slave to it. And if you'll know the truth, if you'll abide in the Word and continue in it, you'll be a true disciple of mine and you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. It'll take the chains off of you so that you can walk in freedom. You can't run in Christ shackled, but you get them off and you can run in Christ free from the power of sin, free to resist the enemy. Listen, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Abide in God's Word. You'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, I finished up reading through the New Testament and I moved through the Psalms and I came to this passage that I want to talk to you, and it's just a four-word sentence. Number three, just trust in the Lord. Rely on Him. And you know, when you look at this passage in Psalm 31, go on and turn there. David is saying, listen, I'm going to trust in God. And you know, that's a pretty common statement. You know, I'm going to trust in God. I'm going to put my trust in Him. But I want you to notice what's going on in his life. In Psalm 31, verse 9, be gracious to me, O Lord. I'm in distress. You ever been in distress? My eye is wasted away from grief. My soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow. My years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity. My body has wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I've become a reproach. And especially to my neighbors, I'm an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me. I'm forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I'm a broken vessel. I've heard the slander of many, terrors on every side. And while they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take my life away. He's struggling. You and I struggle. We have seasons like this. I mean, listen to these words, if you will, again. Distress, wasted away, grief, sorrow, sighing, failed strength, body wasted away, adversaries, reproach, object of dread, forgotten, dead man, out of mind, broken vessel, slandered, terror on every side. People are counseling together against me. schemed to take my life away. Man, I tell you what, I got a little stressed just reading that. But do you know what David says? Notice what he says. But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I trust in you, O Lord. Notice what else he says. He says, and I say, you are my God, my times are in your hand. As for me, I trust in you. As for me, I trust in you, God. You know, I look at my life and I don't think I could ever tell you, although I've experienced some of these words, I've never experienced them all together. Have you? Some of you might have. And yet, he's trusting in God. I'm not saying that the minute he said, I trust in God, my times are in your hands, that everything became good in a moment. Maybe he still has to go through some things that God's teaching him, but here's the point. He's trusting in his God. He's relying on God. You know, when I look at Scripture, I see that it's a very positive thing to trust in God. I see it's a very, very hard thing when you trust in something else. Just like you might delight in something else other than the Lord, and I mean just things kind of crashing around you, you know, or you're not abiding in the Word, and that season in your life, it's just kind of hard. Well, listen, to trust in something else other than God is a big mistake. Who are you relying on today for your joy, for your happiness, for your victory? Because I want to tell you, there's great victory in trusting God. There's great sorrow by relying on something else, my strength, my giftedness, even the things that God has done in my life. To rely on those things is a really wrong strategy. But to trust in God, notice a couple of scriptures. There's fruitfulness. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by the water, extends its roots by a stream, and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Fruitfulness. Look at the next one. Direction. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him. He'll make your path straight. Look at the next one. Victory. 2 Chronicles 13:18. Thus the sons of Israel were subdued at that time, and the sons of Judah conquered. Why? Because they trusted in the Lord, the God of their fathers. The next one. Known by God, Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows those who trust in Him. And then the final one is ultimately, you're not going to be disappointed. Psalm 22:4, in you our fathers trusted, they trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were delivered. In you they trusted and they were not disappointed. Are you relying on God today? Are you relying on something else to bring you the joy, the happiness, the life, the success, the direction, the fruitfulness? Are you trusting in Him? Are you relying on Him? A fourth thing that I want to talk to you about that God has just really challenged me to is this one. The battle belongs to the Lord. Yesterday I had a friend call me. And he's struggling. And I knew it in his voice when he called me. And I've been thinking about this passage of Scripture in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. And here's the thought. I'm not going to read it right now. If you go back and read it. But what's happening is there's this army coming toward Israel. And I mean, it's a big army. And they're scared to death. And they start praying. And they're gathering from the cities. And Moab's coming against them. And Jehoshaphat is the king. And he's calling for prayer. And he's calling for fasting. And the Scripture says that all of them are standing before the presence of God. And they're standing with their little ones. And they're just looking for comfort. They're looking for a word. And all of a sudden, this prophet gets up. And he starts talking to them. And he starts saying, you don't have to fear. Matter of fact, the battle's not yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. And I don't know about you, but when I think the battle is mine, when I think that it's dependent upon me, when I think that I've got to get through this by just gritting my teeth and pulling up my bootstraps, and I've got to do this on my own power, I'm like my friend. It doesn't work. But when I trust and I'm abiding in the Word of God and I'm delighting in Him, I somehow come to this place to say, this battle, this struggle, this heartache does not belong to me. It belongs to God. What's great about this passage of Scripture is that He'll come along and He'll say this, you don't even have to go fight in this battle. All you're going to have to do is just sit back and watch. What happens is folks are coming against Israel and all of a sudden they start fighting against each other. And do you know what they do? They destroy one another on the way to destroy God's people. God sends this confusion upon them and they start fussing and fighting with one another. And do you know what happens? There's 3 days of gathering the spoil. The battle belongs to God. Will you rely on that? Will you delight in Him? Will you trust in Him? Will you come to this place that you will know that the battle belongs to God? There's a fifth thing that I want to say in closing this morning, and that is the joy of the Lord is your strength. Turn to Nehemiah. As I read through Nehemiah a couple of days ago, the wall has been built. They've finished the work. People are coming back into Jerusalem, into the land. And they're standing before God. And in verse 8 of chapter 8, Nehemiah, I'm sorry, we're going to look at verse 3. Ezra has brought the book, the law, out. And they start reading the book. Look at verse 3. He read from it before the square, which was in front of the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of men and women. Those who could understand and all the people were attentive to the book of the word or the law. And he stood at a wooden podium, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood all these great men of God. Verse 5, he opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and he blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed low, and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And they read from the book, verse 8, from the law of God, translating to give the sense so that they understood the reading. And then Nehemiah, who was the governor of Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord. Don't mourn, don't weep. For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. And then he said to them, go eat of the fat and drink of the sweet and send portions to him who has nothing prepared for this day is holy to our God. Don't be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. All the people went away to eat and drink and to send portions and to celebrate a great festival because they understood the words which had been made known to them. I want you right now to bow with me in prayer, and I want to talk to you in these closing moments. The joy of the Lord is your strength. What is strength? In Scripture, it's your vigor. It's what keeps you going. In Scripture, strength is your life. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. It's your vigor. It's your life. Not the joy of school. Not the joy of the job. Not the joy of a great relationship with your spouse. Not the joy of business succeeding. Not the joy in the harvest. It's the joy of the Lord. Not the joy of provision, not the joy of wealth, not the joy of health. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I hope that you can see there's this common theme that runs through this for me. And it's all about relying and trusting and delighting and finding my greatest life, my greatest joy in Jesus Christ. And here's the question. Will Jesus Christ be enough for you? Is it Jesus that's controlling you, or is it all the other stuff that's controlling you? Is Jesus enough? I don't know about you, but I want to delight in Him. I, I want to trust in Him. I want to rely on Him. I want to know that the battle belongs to the Lord. Yes, I want to keep working. I want to work hard to my job. I want to work hard in the things that God's asked me to do. But I don't want that work to be my greatest joy. I want Jesus to be the greatest joy. It's the joy of the Lord that's your vigor. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I want to tell you, you have a great opportunity, every one of us, every morning when we get up, in the afternoon, in the evening, in every spare moment, to open that Word and to find a joy in Christ. To delight myself in Him. To make myself merry in Him. A lot of things make me happy. But most of those things don't make me happy that lasts. Things fade, things ebb, things flow. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I want to ask you, is Jesus Christ enough for you? Is He enough? Let me ask you a question. If your business went the pot this year, would Jesus be enough? I'm not saying, will it be easy? Please, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying you wouldn't struggle. I'm just saying, are you really willing to position yourself to say that Jesus Christ is enough? Some of you might be here today and say, you know what? My business has gone to pot. And I need Him to be enough. Or what if, as we were speaking of David and his times, and he's saying that my times are in His hands, but he's sighing and there's no relief and it's hard. I want to ask you, in the hard times, if it doesn't seem to relieve immediately or even in a few days or a few months, will Jesus Christ be enough? Will He be enough? I want to say yes, He'll be enough. And the great thing about Jesus being enough is that when I'm delighting in Him, I see life coming forth from me. And times do change. And things do get better. And there is peace. And sometimes that affliction does go. And I'm walking with Him. And He's relieving me. And when I'm relieved, and when I'm successful again, and when the business is just soaring, and when ministry is just wonderful, will Jesus be enough? Will He be enough? Oh God, I pray it's so today. I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that we would trust the great name of our God today. For trusting in Your name simply means we're trusting in You. Lord, I know that as we've gathered this morning, as we've looked at some of these passages of Scripture, Lord, I just want to pray for a commitment that would go forth from our body that would say, You are enough, Lord. And although I may not feel like that right now, and maybe I'm just really struggling with that statement, I'm just by faith going to say, You're enough. As for me, I trust in You. My times are in Your hands. Oh God, I pray that You'd be enough today. I pray that You'd be enough. Now, I don't know where lots of you are this week, but I know that if you'll make a commitment today to delight yourself in Him and realize that the joy of the Lord's your strength, that you'll find delight and joy in Him today. Watch Him work. Watch Him transform. Watch Him move. Father, I pray that for every single person in this place today. I pray that You'd come. I pray that You'd move. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on